God's economy is a system of sowing and reaping. Today, Kenneth Copeland and guest David Barton share the biblical principles of God's economic system to help us understand the security and protection we have in Him. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank You. We give You praise that Jesus is Lord. And we worship You today. Your Word is stronger than ever. Praise God, and we thank You for it. It couldn't be any stronger than it's ever been, but it's stronger in our hearts than ever and growing. And, well, we just bless You and worship You, sir, and we thank You for this broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join with me today and welcome again to this broadcast, David Barton? David, you know, God has done... He has formed an anointing in your life that is it's a bridge anointing. We have a tendency to gather up in one spot and let the government go on to hell. That's where they've been wanting to go anyway, you know? And when we do that, we have a tendency to take our hands off of it. If they do, they go on to hell. Yeah. And that's crosswise of the will of God. And the anointing that God has given you, I mean, you're right at home here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And your ministry is just as strong on winning souls and getting people healed and all the rest of it. But your anointing is that bridge anointing, and you're over amongst them heathens. Which, it's a form of evangelism, because that's where the evangelist is.
Yeah.
The evangelist stays in church. He's out of place.
Mm-hmm.
If the pastor don't ever go to church, he's out of place.
That's
so
right.
Yours is one of those bridge anointings.
And you know, there's a reason I think that that's important, too, not because of what we do, but the whole thing in Romans 13, the government's there, but if we can get them to do it right, then we get to live godly, quiet, and peaceable lives. They have an impact on us. And too many of us want to say, hey, that's government, let them go to hell.
But, they're gonna
but they take us with them is the problem.
For instance, the judge has more influence over most people's daily life than their pastor does.
That's exactly right.
Particularly, even though I'm strong in the Word, and I live my life according to the Word of God, I live by faith.
Yeah.
But I still got to have a driver's license.
Yep.
And there are certain things that I have to do, and some judge had to sign that.
I mean,
so we're connected whether we like it or not.
Right.
And the thing we need to do is do our job.
Yeah.
And it's not only functions correctly, but it can prosper.
There is a founding father in America that I really like. His name is Benjamin Rush. He's probably one of the most biblical guys that I know of. Signed the Declaration of Independence, served in 3 presidential administrations. He started public schools. He's the father of American medicine. He's just a brilliant guy. And he probably is the one that had the greatest impact on me in starting to think biblically, because I was reading his old works from 250 years ago, and he would say, well, here's what we need to do. And I would think, well, I don't agree with that. But the problem was he had a Bible verse beside what he said.
Yeah.
And unless I could come up with a better Bible verse than he had, you know.
And that's so, the difference, isn't it?
It is. And so I started having to think about a lot of public policy issues, because he was sticking the Bible all over everything he did, whether it's medicine or education or reform or any. He was a huge civil rights leader. I mean, he had the Bible and everything. And I had to think through these verses, and I never thought of applying verses the way he was doing, and they made perfect sense. But he's the first guy to call for public schools in America once we became a nation. And in the book in which in the writing in which he did that in 1790, here's what he said. He said, public schools, he said, number one, they need to be teaching the Bible, because we can't survive if we don't know the Bible as a nation. So we're going to teach the Bible in public schools. But his number two thing was, he said, what public schools need to be doing is they need to teach the student to love God, to love their country, and to love their family. And I thought about that, and I thought, wait a minute, everybody I know would say God, family, and country. You know, we wouldn't put country above family. We'd say family is more important than country. But he, as this biblical thinking guy, he says you go God, you go country, and you go family. And why? And as he points out, he says if you ever lose control of your country, they'll be the greatest enemy to your family. And so what happens is we lose control of our schools, and now they're teaching all the wrong stuff on sexual education. They're teaching all the secular stuff. They're keeping God out of the minds of our kids. If you lose control of your country, they become an enemy to the very things you cherish.
And you lose control of your family.
Because
those people will teach your child against you.
Against you, against what the church is teaching, against what the Bible is. Because you've got that Babylonian system versus the covenantal God system, and the two are in conflict. And if we get out of government, then the Babylonian system has more control over our kids than we do.
So all of a sudden, it takes a village to raise a child, but the second step of that is the village will take the child away from the parents.
Right. That's right.
And that's wrong.
That's right. If it's a Babylonian village, you're going to lose the kid.
Yeah.
If it happens to be a God-centered village like a church or community of believers, that's a different thing because you're reinforcing
what the parents. Because they're going to reinforce the parents.
That's right. They're reinforcing the parents. They're not taking the kids away. And that's why a bridge kind of ministry like that really is a valid thing for every Christian believer to be into, because it does have out of selfishness, it has an impact on them.
Sure it does.
You can't say, hey, let the government go. I don't care, but
no.
It has an impact on you.
Because there is a time when the government is not going to let you go.
That's right.
You may let it go, but when you do, coming over to get
you. It does have an impact on you. That's right. Exactly right.
We were talking yesterday, we introduced this about what the Lord said last November, that this was the end of the Babylonian socialistic system that's been attacking this nation for 110 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, when I heard that, I wasn't aware of where that 110, he was so definite about it. I mean, I heard it, man.
Yeah.
That I didn't have to think, was that what it, no.
A specific point in time.
It just stood up.
Yeah.
That was big thing. It was big and important for God to get that over to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I better find out why here. Because I didn't know exactly what that 110-year break meant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I got into it and begin to study it, it didn't take but a few days, really, till it emerged, the two systems again.
Yeah.
Just stuck out.
Yeah.
Here was Abraham Lincoln that said the Constitution of the United States is an abstract truth. Abstract meaning it is set alone.
Yeah.
Meaning that it is the truth for all men for all time.
That's right.
Then you come over here, and the idea that was introduced 110 years ago from that time was the Constitution is the truth, but it's not an abstract truth.
Yeah.
It has to be progressively altered.
That's right.
According to the times.
That's right.
Now, when you do that, you take it out of the influence of God's Word,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got men deciding what the times are and what the thing ought to do.
That's right.
So now, over here, what Mr. Lincoln was talking about, he framed up in a few words what our founders gave their lives to get into force. They got a truth from God that if we base this on His Word, it'll work.
And by the way, it did.
And it did.
By the way, it did. And it still does.
It still does.
Every time we follow it, it works.
Well, and in my household, this governs my house.
You betcha.
And I don't have any debts.
Yep.
Babylon can't get in
my
door. The ministry doesn't have any debts. There are no mortgages on this ministry anywhere. There's nobody, unless they did it by force of arms, there's nobody could come take away what God has blessed us with.
Yeah.
So I would like for you to show us in the light of the Word what was happening back there 110 years ago when Satan started his push to cause this Nimrod man meeting his own needs without God,
yeah,
Satan started his push for that to push God's system completely off the earth.
That's right. Yeah. And if you take your 110, because you, November 2009, Billy Graham's meeting, mm-hmm. all right, back up 110 years. Now we're back to 1899.
Mm-hmm.
1899, president is McKinley.
Yes, sir.
He gets assassinated, but that's our president then. So what we're talking about is actually all of the 20th century, because the very next thing after McKinley is we have come into the 20th century, yeah. 1900. So 1900 through 2009, that 110 years. You had some massive philosophical changes occurring in the nation at that time. And what I find interesting is that's when you see the manifestation change. This Babylonian system, man-centered system versus a God-centered system comes in big conflict. We saw it in education. We saw it in law schools. We saw it in government. We saw it in church.
Big push.
We saw every... And let me go to a scripture that really, I think, is really cool in this. It's Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, verse 24, and we've had... As you said, Abraham Lincoln, you know, the Constitution is abstract in the sense it stands alone as truth all by itself.
Well, and 75% of it was a direct quote of Scripture.
Yeah, it's right out
of Scripture. And the other 25% was laid firmly on Scripture.
Yeah, that's right. There's so many clauses in the Constitution that are direct quotes of Scripture. What happens today is we're told, oh, Constitution is secular, it's government, we don't get involved. We don't read it. If we read it, we said, oh, I know where that is. That's over here in Ezekiel 8.
Yeah.
You know, we'd go right through it. So what we've got, and a great way of defining the two systems, what you said with Lincoln, we had a Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court in the 1930s and the 1940s who epitomized what we've got here. This Chief Justice, Charles Evans Hughes, U.S. Supreme Court, he'd been a governor, et cetera, he said, we are under a Constitution. He said, but the Constitution is what the judges say that it is. And that's the difference. So, yeah, we got a document, but we're going to tell you what the document means.
That goes right back to the same...
That's the epitome of what happened across the 20s in those 110 years. It's, oh, yeah, we got truth, but we'll tell you how to interpret the truth. You know, it's the Word of God, but we've evolved past that. We've got progressive truth. And so what happened was we got away from fixed standards, and God works on black and white. I mean, it's real simple. That's why it's all written down so we can put our foot firmly in the middle of it and say, hey, we stand on this. It's real clear. We know exactly where it is. It's unequivocal. He's not squishy about stuff. But we started making everything squishy in the 20th century. And the thing that stands out to me is this Matthew 13 parable where Jesus is talking in verse 24. And it says, another parable he put forth saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And I would say that's where America had been. We had a covenant with God. We were doing things appropriately. We were prosperous. We were blessed in so many ways. And it says, but while the men slept, the enemy came in and sowed the tares among the wheat and went his way.
My goodness.
Now, we got to going to sleep there prior to McKinley. And what's significant is, it said, verse 26, when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And that's when the servants came and said, hey, did you sow the bad seed in the field too? It took a while for the planted seed to actually manifest itself. And we started seeing the manifestations in the 20th century, but it had been planted 20 and 30 years earlier. And the person that I would take so much of this back to, this 110-year thing that God put on you, is a guy named Robert Ingersoll. Robert Ingersoll was actually on the Union side in the Civil War. He was a colonel in the Civil War. And just to kind of explain how this thing works, he's got a lot of books that were done in the 1800s. He's a really famous author. He's what we call the national evangelist for agnosticism, atheism. And his famous quotes were, we are building this country on the temple of reason. He says, we're a secular country. We have not had God involved, and this is all lies, but this is the first real mm-hmm. revisionist that we mm-hmm. had. He was rewriting everything, but his thing was a call for the temple of reason, and that's what he wanted.
He came up right there at that time.
He came up a little before that, because he comes out of the Civil War, and after the Civil War, you had both the Union and the Confederate sides that had their reunions. Well, Colonel Ingersoll had his Civil War reunions with the Grand Army of the Republic, the Union side. And his immediate general over him was a guy named Lew Wallace, who was a major general in the Civil War. Now, Lew Wallace is an interesting figure by himself. He's the guy who was the governor over Indiana Territory, over New Mexico. Lew Wallace, the guy that had to deal with Billy the Kid. Well, Lew Wallace is Major General. And Lew Wallace believed himself to be a Christian. I mean, that was his profession of faith, as I'm a Christian, I'm a Bible believer. And Ingersoll is anti-God, anti-Christ, pro-man. It's all up here. We reason. We're in charge of ourselves. Ingersoll got in the face of his commanding general at one of these reunions, and he says, "You claim to be a Christian." He said, "You claim to believe in God. You claim to base your life on Jesus." He said, "You can't prove there's a God. You can't prove Jesus ever lived. That is in a book. There's no evidence to prove." And he went through all this, "You can't prove, you can't prove, you can't prove" stuff. Well, that really set the General Lew Wallace, just took him back because he said, "I can't prove that. I can't prove that God lives. I can't prove that Jesus ever lived." So Lew Wallace went to the Holy Land, and for 5 years in the Holy Land, he studied and researched and said, "What historical evidence is there? How can I prove?" Because he wanted to have something on which to base his faith too. So he came back, and he does a famous work, and it's not a theological work. But he came back, and the way he proved that God was alive and that Jesus was actually the Son of God was he wrote a book. And that book became the bestseller of the 19th century. It came out in 1881, and that finishes 5 years of research. And over the next 19 years, it outsold every book in America except the Bible. And the name of the book is called Ben-Hur. And if you remember the story of Ben-Hur, Ben-Hur is this guy who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Jesus, and he watches all the miracles. He watches everything. And at the end, he said, "This is the Son of God." Remember, that was a conversion. Mm-hmm. And so that book came out, and that book, for time being, stopped the move of this secular progressivism that was coming forward. And President Garfield at that time wrote the introduction for the book and said, "Oh, this book has saved the culture of America because we're thinking about Jesus again. We're getting back to God. We're off of man." But Ingersoll kept working away and kept planting these seeds. And he planted them in education. He planted them in law. He planted them in government. And so by the time you get to the 20th century, mm-hmm. now these seeds are starting to pop up. Now you're seeing the tares among the wheat. Now, I mean, it is interesting that he spurred some Christians to do some good things like Ben-Hur. But I think what the Lord showed you in the 20th century, those 110 years, we go back and say, "Here's where it got planted. Now we've got to deal with the tares. How do you get the tares out of the wheat? How do you separate? And that's what the parable deals with. So that really is kind of the significance. And, you know, we can cover that this week on how what was happening in that 110 years and where we are now. Because I think what the Lord told you is significant, that we're at the point now where this stuff is going to be rooted out and taken out. And you know, it's not going to destroy the country. It's going to be the other way around. Because God's got a covenant with us, and He's going to protect that covenant.
That covenant has to be all the time in our thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back over there and look again in the book of Genesis, dude. And there is such a divine earmark here. God has given us. There's just not any. There's not any question about the difference in it when you look at Genesis 11 and Genesis 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as we said, God blessed Noah and his sons. He started out blessing Adam. Mm-hmm. Now the blessing: be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now the word "replenish" there just simply means to perpetually renew and supply. Mm-hmm. That's what is supposed to perpetually renew and supply, whether it's our households.
Yeah.
But God's talking on a much larger scale than that. He's talking about it should have perpetually renewed and supplied this earth as it was used over the centuries and so forth.
Yeah.
And as it got in places where it was trying to work against itself by the power of the blessing of Almighty God, it should have straightened out. Yeah. Well, it's suffering today for a manifestation of the sons of God. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's that, from the 8th chapter of Romans, is the sons of God are the ones with the blessing
That's
of
right.
Abraham.
It
all comes back to that.
That's right.
So the two systems are in clash
They are.
With one another.
They are.
And in the 11th chapter of Genesis, we'll close today's broadcast with this and we'll take up here tomorrow. They said to one another, we're going to stop here in Shinar and we're going to dwell here. They said to one another, let us make brick. Let us burn them. And then they come down, let us build a city and a tower. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad in the face of the whole earth. Now come over here to chapter 12. The Lord said to Abraham, you follow me to a land that I will show you. Not just anywhere you won't just go pitch your tent.
Yep.
I'll show you the place. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing.
Yeah.
So under the replenishing of the earth, God said, and subdue the earth and have dominion over it with the blessing.
Yeah.
Not with your own godless government.
Yeah. It's a point-by-point comparison.
Yeah,
man versus God. And man wants to be God. So he wants to do everything.
So you settle a thing in Proverbs 10, 24.
Yeah.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow
to it.
With it. The sorrow is the difference between the two systems. Yeah. And we're out of time. Brother David, and I'll be back in just a moment.
When Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, he needed to know how to lead them. With the entire liberated population looking to him alone for answers, Moses was on the verge of being overwhelmed with requests to settle disputes and judge civil matters. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, offered the solution in Exodus 18. You should choose from among all the people competent men who are God-fearing men of truth, who hate unjust gain, and place over them thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens to be their rulers. Following Jethro's directions to establish self-government, Moses was able to successfully lead the nation of Israel. The United States of America was the first nation in the Western world established on that same principle of self-government. The Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution states that the population shall be represented by elected officials. Adopting the biblical model for government provided a viable foundation to build a nation. Just as Moses was instructed to place over them thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens to be their rulers, there is a correlation to that structure in American government. The equal rights of man and the happiness of every individual are now acknowledged to be the only legitimate objects of government. The Founding Fathers never intended the government to be without God. It is their God-fearing perspective from which American laws, principles, and culture find their roots. We pray for an awakening to God in prayer for all people. We ask God to help government leaders everywhere, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. We pray for the leaders of all nations to have the mind of Christ and for all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. From the instant he spoke light into existence, God has had a hand in the course of human events. The Roots and Reform Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a study of God's hand in America's earliest hours and spiritual insight into exactly how God can heal any nation. This package is packed with inspiration and instruction. In the teaching series, How Does God Heal the Land?, available on CD or DVD, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton examine the church's role in healing a nation and our responsibility to put godly people in leadership positions. The Roots and Reform Package also includes Celebrate Liberty, a collection of timeless speeches and sermons on the blessings and responsibilities of liberty, Keys to Good Government, an exploration of wise counsel from God-fearing leaders, and Principles of National Reformation, a 60-minute audio message on prayer and national revival. Order the Roots and Reform Package today for just $28. This package, available on CD or DVD, is a vital resource designed to help you develop an action plan based on God's Word to bring healing to our nations. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order the Roots and Reform Package online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other products, go to kcm.org.
Listen, you really do need to get a hold of David's material here. As we were talking about earlier, the anointing on him is a bridge anointing, and you and I need to know the truth about the crossing of that bridge. How does God intend for us to relate to the government of the nation, and how can we minister to the people? We can't tell any group of people, you just go to hell. That's not our right,
yeah,
man.
That's right.
We're supposed to be witnesses of the fact that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
And that there's one mediator between God and man,
right,
and Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So get a hold of these. Teach your children. Yeah. Are you listening to me? They're learning something altogether different. And I'll tell you the truth, if you don't teach them, you're going to lose them. Because that's what that system is designed to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that, why don't you go down there and spend about a week in school with them and see what they're hearing?
Yeah.
You'll throw up unless you've been taught the same thing. If you did, you realize that's not the right way to do things. It always comes into death. It turns out to be dead. So get a hold of this material right now. Praise God. Father, we praise you and we thank you today for the healing of the land, for the salvation of men and women all over this earth, and the great awakening that is in process right now, where we're coming to ourselves that Jesus is alive. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take advantage of our website, kcm.org. I'm telling you, a lot of dynamite stuff in there. We're so glad you were with us today. Don't miss tomorrow. Come right back in here. Got a lot of really good stuff for you. Till then, Kenneth Copeland, David Barton reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois, at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.